Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Hello, hello, and welcome, everyone. This is Dennis, and I am here with Larry and Rick with Dr. Don on the phone. And we are delighted to have you take a few minutes out of your busy schedule on this Saturday, Sabbath, January 30, 2021, for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. You are showing perseverance by being here, and we do appreciate it. I want to remind you of our websites and our social media platforms where we are located. This is the Spirit of Truth Ministry, and we have two websites. Our first and primary website is spiritoftruthministry.net. There you can go to find a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld, and lots of good writing by Rick. We also have our original website located at spiritoftruthministry.net/S, capital T, capital M. And there you will find historical data, some biography, a page that is still titled New Book Page that has the introduction to the book and also on the sidebar the story about how the book came to be published, which you might find fascinating, and also lots of writing by the rest of us, including Rick. So we encourage you to go there. We also have a Facebook page. It is Spirit of Truth Ministry Group, and you can go there if you want to join our group. Go ahead and click on the Join tab, and I will I monitor it periodically, and I will let you in on the group. We would love to have you join us. Rick has a Gab site, which is at RS Wayfinder, and you can go there and have a chat with Rick if you want and ask him questions, and I'm sure he would be delighted to give you answers. So let us have prayer, and we will get started with our study. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, we honor your names, the name of the Father, the name of our brother, Jesus Christ, and the name of our mother, the Holy Spirit, whose name is Wisdom. We thank you for being here in spirit and in truth and teaching us what we need to know to be effective servants and warriors in this world as we approach a time when this world and the next will conjoin, and we will be able to see Jesus face to face. Thank you for making it possible for us to be able to honor your names by telling the truth. And we thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
And let me go ahead and click on Dr. Don here. And okay, good morning. Good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning. Good morning.
Nice to hear your voice. We also have Rick, who is eating a piece of bread at the moment, which is a little experiment on my part. I keep some bread dough in the fridge for a variety of reasons. I make a big batch, and then I use some of it, and then I keep it in there so that I can just pull some out and make something out of it. And last night, I pulled the last bit of it out, and I made a pizza dough, and a wonderful pizza for my wife. And this morning, I used the rest of it and made some cheese bread. So this is what you get when you come over to my house. you know.
So we're guinea pigs, huh?
Yeah, well, no, not in this. There have been a couple of things. Anyway, it's nice to see you this morning. Rick, what's going on?
In light of what is going on, Dennis?
Oh, we've had such a good time the last couple of days looking at the hedge fund managers scurry and hurry and try to collect themselves, and all because of a very appropriately named stock called GameStop. And it for sure has stopped the game of the hedge fund managers trying to stick it to the common people and get more money. I mean, these people have made billions of dollars and they haven't produced a thing.
And interesting also, a movie company stock.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're all watching a movie. But yes. That's not what I am talking about.
Well, and then there has also been the little minor little conflict in the South China Sea, which
yeah,
is not getting
and that's
good
not,
advertising.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what's going on in the world. I'm talking about the final act being carried out by the United States.
Dr. Don, I'm not going to be able to get you up on the thingy. Something is going on with this. We had a problem with this the other day. I am not going to be able to put you on the radio. So sorry about that.
Canceled.
I don't know. Unless you've been living under a rock or paying little to no attention about what's happening in this country, the United States, right now. The major required steps for the total subjugation of the countries of the world, the peoples of the world, to be ruled by a tyrannical oligarchy, also known as the deep state satanic cabal. These required steps are being taken here in the United States to subject the people of the United States to the authority of the beast. I have been very clear in my understanding of what is going on in the world and what the future will hold. I have said, and I still maintain, that part of Revelation, specifically but not limited to chapters 8 and 9, 13 through 18, I believe the reason that God gave that information to John instead of just giving him the life road information, which in fact he didn't even give him the life road information that he could write down for us to have. He did tell John what the life road reality would be, but after telling him that, he said, don't write it down. But by doing what he did, and what I mean by he, I mean God, I am able to ascertain what is going on in the world. I can see factually the scenario clearly revealed and explained and defined in Revelation already at work in the world, and has now begun that work of subduing into subjection the United States of America. But this will not succeed. And the reason that it won't succeed is because of two things, at least two things, maybe more. First, the timing. There is a time set for all this to happen. If there wasn't a set time for all this to happen, God would not have put the elements of this timing in prophecy, such as the 1,335 days, the 1,260 days, time times and half a time, 42 months, 5 months, 3.5 days. Because for all of that timing to work together, there can only be a specific time for all this to happen. Now, it isn't the timing is not so unique that it only happens once in a millennia or once in a century. This happens every 9 or 10 years. The next time that the timing could work out exactly as God has given it would be 2030. Now that would be the end of the Great Tribulation. So it would start about 3.5 years approximately earlier for the 1,335 days. And what would happen in that amount of time is the return of the king, the sealing of the 144,000, the awakening of the 10 bridesmaids, the going from where the bridesmaids were sleeping to the marriage hall, which is the kingdom. And remember, all of this is in the spiritual sense. So it's not traveling to an area. It is making a spiritual journey from where you are to where you need to be. And where you need to be is at the marriage feast, where you are in the kingdom. And then the door is shut. Then the kingdom and the priests, the priests who are the 144,000, realize what is about to happen, and they are praying to God to give them the strength and the wisdom to take the truth to the world during a time of extreme tribulation, called the Great Tribulation for obvious reasons. What I see right now is the globalist leadership working desperately to have the mark of the beast ready to go in June or July. So as I said before, where are the 144,000? Because they were supposed to have been working for the last 3.5 years. At least 3.5 years. So that the people would know what is about to happen. And by the time that the mark of the beast is brought out, the only ones left are the ones who have not been convinced yet. Not convinced by the first trumpet or the second trumpet or the third trumpet or the fourth trumpet. And the fifth trumpet, when the angel king of the abyss comes out and is joined by his fellow participants in the insurrection, they come out to inflict the worst pain you can imagine on those who haven't made up their mind yet. And then the sixth trumpet is a devastating war. Not Armageddon. Armageddon is a war that is never fought. They gather together for the great war. But God got and keeps that from happening. So all this, and when I say all this, I mean the return of the King, the Son of God, to the faithful and wise enough bondservant and his fellow bondservants, rewarding them for their faithfulness and trust, and they have proved themselves trustworthy. And then they go throughout the world testifying to the truth, and from that, 144,000 individuals are sealed. These are the priests of the kingdom. There is no lie in their mouth. I want you to be serious with yourself and ask, are there 144,000 people in the world today who do not hold to even one lie, who have been perfected in the truth and there is no lie in them? And then the group which appears to be are aptly described by what started the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and that was as they went out to meet the bridegroom, and the bridegroom did not come. But they stayed there waiting and fell asleep. Apparently, the 144,000 awakens this sleeping church. And those who have the oil, those who are receptive to the truth, are finished by the 144,000 in their process of arriving at the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And at that point, have entered the kingdom. They are in the marriage hall, and the door is shut. And then they seek God's guidance and strength to accomplish what is needed to bring the nations into the kingdom of God. And what I'm saying is that all that would have to happen in the next couple weeks, at the most month. In order to be ready for the Mark of the Beast in June or July. Because that's what the deep state is planning. That's what they have set as their goal. They know they have to have the Mark of the Beast ready by June or July, because they will have a hard time getting it later. So that's why I say that if indeed we are going into the Great Tribulation right now, then God doesn't stand a chance of accomplishing what he has described in Revelation. And you say, well, God can do anything he wants. God can do anything he wants, but he cannot force people against their will. He will not. So if he's going to go ahead and Revelation 13 is going to start, then what he's going to have to do is write off most of the people of the world. There will not be a multitude which no one can count in heaven. And at the very best, there's a handful of people that he might be able to rescue off this earth before all hell breaks loose. But that is not his purpose. That is not what he wants. So I'm here to tell you, please do not fear for the future. Do not throw your hands up and say God has given up on this world. Do not fear that this global cabal led by Satan has won this world away from its creator. What I'm here to tell you is found in Isaiah chapter 14, starting with verse 3. The day Yahweh gives you rest after your suffering and torment and the grim servitude to which you were forcibly enslaved. You are to recite this satire on the king of Babylon. Now you might say, well, Rick, this all sounds good, but God was talking to Israel after their enslavement and captivity in Babylon. Does God not take care of his people in the same way, no matter what? You have to be asleep to think that we, the people of the world, have not been enslaved for centuries, if not millennia. And who's the one who has enslaved the people of the earth? And why and how? Do you think it was the king of Babylon? And which king of Babylon? If you understand that the kings in those days and all through history up to the present day, the rulers, they ruled at the behest of Satan. Satan is the ruler of this world, and he only shares his authority with those who completely submit to his will. If you are insubordinate to Satan, after he has given you power and wealth, you're done. Ask a few celebrities who have mysteriously stopped living after selling their souls to the devil for fame and fortune. The kings of Egypt said they were sons of the gods. What gods? Not the true God in heaven, obviously, because Pharaoh did not listen to the order of the true God in heaven. He was listening. In fact, he says, I don't even know that God. I've never met that God. I know nothing about that. I know about the gods of Egypt. So when this is addressed to the king of Babylon, I can rightly put in there the globalist cabal who has enslaved the humanity of the world under their oligarchic rule with a false sense of freedom. Recite this satire to the kings of the world. What is the end of the tyrant? What was the end of his arrogance? Yahweh has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of tyrants, which angrily thrashed the peoples with blow after blow, which furiously tyrannized over the nations, persecuting without respite. The whole earth is at rest. It is calm, shouting for joy. The cypress, the cedars of Lebanon, rejoice at your fate. Now that you have been laid low, no one comes up to fell us. Makes me think of the two towers, right, Dennis? In the Lord of the Rings.
You bet.
And the trees.
In the New American Standard, that's Isaiah 14:8. It says, since you were laid low, no tree cutter comes up against us. Interesting.
And weren't they called the Ents.
Just the ents.
On your account, Sheol beneath us is astir to greet your arrival. To honor you, he rouses the ghosts of all the rulers of the world. He makes all the kings of the nations get up from their thrones. Each has something to say, and what they will say to you is this. So you, too, have been brought to nothing, like ourselves. You, too, have become like us. Your magnificence has been flung down to Sheol with the music of your harps. Are you getting the picture? What is this satire about? The ruler of the world, Satan. With the music of your harps, the magnificence has been flung down to Sheol with the music of your harps. Underneath you a bed of maggots, and over you a blanket of worms. How did you come to fall from the heavens, day star, son of the dawn? How did you come to be thrown down to the ground? You who enslaved the nations. You who used to think to yourself, I will climb up to the heavens, and higher than the stars of God, I will set my throne. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the recesses of the north. I will climb to the top of thunderclouds. I will rival the Most High. What? Now you have fallen to Sheol, to the very bottom of the abyss. Dennis.
Yes.
When you've read this 100 times or more,
mm-hmm.
What did you think about this? I know you knew it was talking about Satan, but what was your mental picture and timing?
Well, you know, the mental picture, being a, and you mentioned it before, being a Tolkien fan, I see Barad-dûr, the throne of the evil one, being cast down and having it cast down by the least of these, the hobbits, where all of the kings of the earth have gathered in defense of right, but it wasn't the kings of the earth that gained the victory.
And I'm glad that you are using that as an example, because I want to pull a little more out of that. At what moment did all this happen?
And see, again, one of my very, very favorite expressions comes from a friend of mine. His name is Buzz Sterrett. He was a pastor at the church we attended. And he told me once that God always does whatever he is going to do. And I will put an addendum in here for his kingdom. At the very last second possible. Only so you know that it's him doing it. And in The Lord of the Rings, Sam and Bilbo are about to die in the caverns of Mount Doom. And they succeed in destroying the Ring of Power just before these kings that are surrounded out in front of the gates, the gates of hell.
Mm-hmm.
At that last instant, the day is saved.
But you know, what you see is Gollum, who has successfully gotten the ring off of Bilbo's finger.
By biting his finger off.
Yes. And he's looking at it and celebrating, and you're thinking, you know, they're out there surrounded by massive, like, what, troll-like things and
horrors from the underworld.
Orcs. And every other kind of
foul creature.
Mainstream media.
And they're in this... in this group, and they're completely surrounded. And Bilbo is deciding whether he really now wants to drop the ring into the fire of Mount Doom. Then he decides, well, no, he's going to put it on, and that's it. And you're thinking, why? What is going through your head? It's like, it's just that pull. And then, of course, Gollum
jumps on him, right.
And then Gollum in his celebratory and Bilbo's trying to get it back from him, they both go over the precipice, the promontory. And then you see the ring land on the flow of lava. And it seems like the lava congeals under the ring to hold it up. And you're wondering, is this ever going to end? That ring has to go down into the lava.
It has to melt.
It has to melt. And here it's come. It's cooled enough to keep the ring out of the lava stream. While the battle is raging outside the gates of hell. And then, all of a sudden, the congealed lava comes apart and the ring slowly dips into the flaming river. And immediately, the army of
Sauron
wakes up.
And realize where they are.
And realize they're free. No longer enslaved. And they take off for parts unknown. That, I think, pretty much is an apt description. It's going to be right down to that last moment. I know the outcome. How do I know the outcome? Because God put it in the Bible. He gave it to his prophets. We know the outcome. The outcome we know is the globalist, fascist, socialist, communist tyranny government will never be established. In fact, it is on its last leg. They are trying to make up time. They have lost, not just in the last 4 years, in the last 8 years since 2012. The end of their time for the globalist government and the Great Tribulation passed in 2019. They cannot go back and reclaim that time. It is over with. They are trying and they are determined to claim that time, because one of their inner circle of human leaders, who goes by the first name of George and his last name starts with an S, if they don't get it done this year, Agenda 21. Now, you say it's their agenda for the 21st century, but it may be 2021. If they cannot subject the whole world to their evil plan right now, it will never, ever happen. That's why they are so desperate. Now, I don't know if you watched the sham inauguration, which inaugurated the leader of the corporation that has been running the United States since the late 1800s,
1877,
and effectively taken full control in 1913, that is now bankrupt and no longer running things. Did you say, well, that their president is writing executive orders like there's no tomorrow, and believe me,
there is no tomorrow. Exactly.
For them.
Right.
The past president, who just established his office of the past president, is still in charge, working behind the scenes. He was chosen by God to do what he is doing. Revelation 14 starts out with hope. Hope that we can trust in. It doesn't start off with faith. It starts off with hope. Words of hope that we can trust in. We will have a time of peace and prosperity. The staff of the wicked has already been broken. And the scepter has been shattered. And I can say that with full certainty because I know their time is over. Satan is a sore loser, and he doesn't see himself as a loser. I just read this. Does it look to you like he saw himself as a loser? I will set my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the seat of God. I will be God. Does that sound like someone who thinks he's going to lose? And how would this being win? How would he ever win? He should know that he cannot defeat God. He should know that. But he's convinced himself otherwise. You know, when you want to have a reasonably amicable discussion with someone who doesn't see things the way that you do, good luck with that. Good luck with convincing them what the truth is, with a mountain of evidence to back it up. You know what they will say? It's not true. You can bring me all the evidence in the world, and I will know that all you're doing is presenting conspiracy theories and lies. There are none so blind as those who refuse to see. Satan has enjoyed success for millennia. And I'm sure he has convinced himself that even God cannot defeat him. His purpose is to deceive all of mankind. All. That is his victory. The faithful and wise servant is his mortal enemy, because the faithful and wise servant is the mustard seed in the parable, is the Elijah who will see that everything is once more as it should be. He is the one that will lead the people into the kingdom. He is the one who will ensure that God wins and not lose all of humanity. We are on the threshold of blessing, a time of peace and rest. We are on the threshold of being freed from slavery. Slavery to Satan and the evil one. And just as Pharaoh ultimately released the Hebrews from servitude in Egypt, we will be released from the oppressive rule of Satan's elite humans, who have caused humanity throughout generations to do all the hard work. And they, the elite, get all the produce and the wealth. And all they've had to do is enforce their tyrannical laws through taxes and fees and caps on wages. They have prevented prosperity for most.
Rick, I find it fascinating that there is an example, that example that we talked about at the very beginning of the show, of our program, where the hedge fund managers and the banks got clobbered by people who decided that they were not going to be slaves to them anymore. And it put a stop to the game. I find it fascinating that that is the name of the company, and you pointed it out, GameStop. It also is a show, and that's where AMC came in, the theater group.
Mm-hmm. A movie, yeah.
It is simply a theatrical play on film where we can see it. And I'm telling you, I think that we are right there because of that and a number of other things.
Just like the Hebrews, though, there is a reason, a purpose behind what our freedom gives us. God is giving us a time of peace and prosperity and abundant life. But there is still one important thing that God wants from us, yea, requires from us. For he didn't free the Hebrews from slavery in Egypt to continue living as they had always lived, especially their spiritual lives. He brought them out into the wilderness where he could have their total undivided attention and give them the information they needed so that they could come to know him as well as they knew the gods of Egypt. And with knowing him fully and truthfully, they would worship him in spirit and in truth. The gods of Egypt would have no place in their intellect to dwell. They would not worship the gods of Egypt. They would not serve the gods of Egypt. They would serve the God of their fathers. And to serve God, you need to learn about God. What does God want? Well, God has made it clear. He has summed up everything. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And the second, love your neighbor as you love yourself. That sums it up. Ten Commandments are the two witnesses, in essence, two tables of stone. The first four commandments are explanatory of love the Lord your God with all your mind and all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And the next six are love your neighbor as yourself. That puts down what you need to know to be able to obey God's prescription. That is writing down what love is. You might think that you're just exchanging one overlord for another. But you see, God has made it clear. First of all, he's not an overlord. If he was an overlord, he wouldn't give you the choice. If you didn't comply, well, ultimately, you'd be put to death. But if you stop to think about it, you will realize that what God is offering is to become a part of the family. And Satan never offers that. When the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, they were slaves. They weren't free.
They were not citizens of Egypt.
What God was saying, I am going to give you peace and rest and prosperity in the land of promise. And in order to have that, what I ask is, you have no other gods before me. Don't worship other gods. Don't swear falsely using my name. And remember the seventh day to keep it holy. Those are not overbearing oligarchic rules. Those are not fascist rules. In fact, for peace and prosperity, protection, long life, and all of the other things that God offers, that's surprisingly
gentle.
Unauthoritarian, yes. The Son of God said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden light.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for being here. We encourage you to go to our website at spiritoftruthministry.net and take a look around. We also encourage you to go to our Facebook page and sign up if you'd like to. We'd be more than happy to have you join us. We encourage you to join us a week from Friday, this last Friday, for another edition of the Bible on Trial, and a week from today on Sabbath for another edition of the Revelation of Jesus. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you a whole happy day. And we will see you all next week. Have a great time, and God bless.